Brihaspati, guru and priest of the gods. He dwells in the Vedic constellation of Pushya, symbolized by a blossoming lotus, and found by our modern star charts as a crescent of stars including Acellus Australis and a few other dim stars and a distant galaxy in the front of the body of the crab, Cancer. Pushya is symbolized by a flower, and the word itself literally means blossom. Blossoms symbolize success, fruition, and accomplishment. The word pushya also means nourishment, because it's only with nourishment that a plant can grow to produce a blossom. It's only with nourishment that we can grow to achieve our fullest potential. So pushya's other symbol is the udder of a cow, which Vedic culture venerates as the source of the most nourishing food, milk. So the name Pushya reveals this nakshatra to be a mothering place, a place that provides nourishment, allowing us to blossom to our fullest potential. Other names for Pushya are Tisha and Siddhya. Both of these names mean fortunate. But Tisha has a connotation of fortune which endures, and Siddhya has a connotation of fortune in the sense of achieving your fullest potential. Now I'll read you the synopsis of Pushya's qualities from my book 27 Stars, 27 Gods. Short synopsis of the interpretive implications of Pushya. Pushya enables us to commune with deeper principles. This strengthens our morality and thereby causes prosperity and enduring victory. It encourages faith and ultimately leads to selfless devotional intimacy with the divine. So the keywords for Pushya are devotion, growth, flourishing, prosperity, morality, prayer, and meditation. Why does Pushya have these qualities? Why does any nakshatra have any qualities? A nakshatra gets all of its qualities from the qualities of the god who dwells there. The god dwelling in Pushya is Brihaspati, the guru and priest of the gods. What is a guru? What is a priest? Well, gurus and priests are many things, unfortunately. But what they're supposed to be is via medium. A communication channel allowing an individual like you or me to link up with the Supreme. So a guru or a priest is supposed to be a conduit allowing the individual to link to the Supreme and thus achieve its fullest potential. And that's exactly what Pushya Nakshatra does. It links its guest to the Supreme, raising them higher, nourishing their growth, and allowing them to blossom to their fullest potential. As Pushya's other name, Tisha, implies, the success achieved with Pushya is enduring. Why is it enduring? Because it is linked to the Supreme. It's a success that's harmonious with the universe, not a success won in selfish defiance of others. A success that's won by defeating other people will be temporary because they're going to come back and defeat you. But a success which is won in harmony with others, in harmony with the universe, in harmony with the Supreme, is going to be an enduring success, perhaps even an eternal success. So in short, moral success, that's the definition of moral. Moral means to benefit everyone. So in short, a moral success is enduring, and that's the kind of success that Pushya encourages. In Gita 10:38, Krishna says, Niti rasmi jigishatam. Among those who are looking for success, I am morality. Now I'll read you some sections from the chapter on Pushya in my book, 27 Stars, 27 Gods, to give you a little bit of background and sense of who Brihaspati is. The Rig Veda, 441, and Mahabharata, Adi, 66, clearly state that Brihaspati is the son of Angiras. Angiras is a fire sage born from the coals of a fire. So from his father, Brihaspati inherits affinity and skill with fire. What's so special about fire? Fire is symbolic of religion and morality because the light of fire shows us the correct path, and the warmth of fire nourishes us. Fire is the focal point of most religious rituals, especially Vedic rituals, because fire transforms things. It transforms matter into energy, thus allowing sacrifices to be delivered to the gods. So fire takes an ordinary material thing and transforms it, releases its energy, and then the energy can link up to some higher source of energy. So it's very symbolic of what a priest does. Fire is the original priest. In the Vedic ritual, fire is the central priest. So fire is very symbolic of what religion is all about, supposedly, what it's supposed to be about, linking you to the Supreme. So Brihaspati, the god of Pushya, which is the nakshatra that links us to the higher success, and his mother, Brihaspati's mother, is named Shraddha, which means trust, faith, and confidence. So the father and the mother equal the son. Here, what does it illustrate? Father plus mother equals son. It illustrates the combination of morality from fire and faith from Shraddha equals Brihaspati, the ability to commune with the divine. So if you have morality and if you have trust together, then you can establish a link to the Supreme. Brihaspati was very religiously inclined from birth. So very soon, he went to a sacred place to meditate and commune with the divine. Shiva was very impressed with the boy and granted him the position of priest and guru of all the gods, and gave him custodianship of the astrological planet Jupiter. So, much of what an astrologer knows as the traits of Jupiter can therefore be transposed into Pushya. In Vedic astrology, the planet Jupiter is named Guru, or it's named Brihaspati. So because Brihaspati is not only the deva of Pushya, Brihaspati is also the deva of this planet, Brihaspati, Guru, Jupiter. So all the traits of Jupiter are practically the same as the traits of Pushya. Nourishing, growing, morality, allowing a person to link to divine, real success, lasting success, which is harmonious with others, prosperity. I'd like to conclude with a very interesting and important spiritual point made by Brihaspati. The fact that the gods need a priest and a guru shows for certain that they are not the supreme divinity. Brihaspati demonstrates that Vedic spirituality is neither monotheistic nor polytheistic, but is a unity of the two. Bhed, abhed, tattva. Not one thing, not the other thing, but both together. A single supreme divinity manifests an infinite multitude of divinities. That's the Vedic concept. Eko Bahu Syat. One supreme divinity manifests many divinities. The multitude of divinities includes the gods of fire and rain and all those type of gods that you classically think of as gods. But the multitudes of divinity also includes you and me, and not just us, but all living things, and not just that, but all things, all the animals, all the plants, all the insects, all the microbes, all the atoms of matter are all these multitude of divinities manifest from the original divinity. And these multitudes of divinity are just as divine as the single original divinity, but we're eternally distinct individuals. Just like sunlight is distinct from the sun, but inseparable from the sun, and the sun is not the sun without the sunlight. So there's neither monotheism in a pure sense, which would just be that there's just one thing, and there's neither polytheism in a true sense, which means that there's just a multitude of things and there's no unifying supreme origin. And even in the monotheistic religions, these religions only pretend to be monotheistic. There are always other divinities associating the supreme divinity. Allah has Muhammad. Yahweh has Moses or Jesus. So the dichotomy between monotheism and polytheism is a false dichotomy, a false dilemma. And Vedic spirituality certainly did not fall prey to this false dilemma. Thank you for watching. I hope you are aware of the whole series of videos that I'm doing on each nakshatra. It's in the playlist. On my channel, you can find a playlist of all these videos, and all the nakshatras go in order. Please subscribe to my channel and click the like and everything. Let me know that you like it. Keep me encouraged to keep doing these videos. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.